Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Join me tonight, we got Lex.
Hi.
How you doing, Lex?
I'm doing all right.
I'll have you know, the last episode that you and I did, well, not the last one, because we did a roller derby one, which also went very well.
Oh.
The last one we did, the one we did on Owl House, fucking blew up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. I think it is now currently our second most listened to episode ever.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And we have even like more shows to talk about now.
I know. We're going to keep this train rolling with another great animated movie or show, rather, that you yet again recommended to me. So you're batting two for two so far as these recommendations go. But we're going to sit down and talk today about a show called Has Been Hotel.
Yeah!
So we're going to do, on the top of the round here, spoiler alerts, if you haven't seen it, go fucking watch it.
What are you doing?
You know? And if you're like, oh, I kind of wanted to watch it, so I don't want to listen to SU until I watch it. Well, pause this, go watch it, and then come back, okay?
We literally sat down in an afternoon and watched the whole show, so it's doable.
Yeah, it's only, what, like 12 episodes, something like that?
I think 8 episodes.
8. In a moment, there might be some background noise, because Rob and James just got home from the store, so I'm timing the start of this episode fantastically. So yes, go pause this, go watch that, come back, listen to us. It's a great show, but there are going to be lots of spoilers. We are going to talk about stuff pretty in depth. I'll probably have questions. We can theorize some stuff.
Yeah, I love the theory stuff.
But why don't you give me pitch to the listeners how you would pitch it to me if you wanted me to watch this show. Like, if you came to me and you were like, okay, I really want Webby to watch this, how am I gonna pitch it to them?
You know what's funny? I think I did write a pitch for you to watch it.
Did you?
I did. It was short, because I was like, I don't want to like push it over the top, because like I have the tendency to, like, when I really like something, like, I try to push it on everybody. So I was like, okay, we've got to play it cool this time, because I think you're actually going to like it. So I had said, if you need a show to watch, Has Been Hotel on Prime is really good. It's extremely violent and vulgar, but it's great. It's a musical, but don't let that discourage you, because all the songs are absolute bangers. And that is true. If you really like the whole, like, heaven and hell, like, angel demon, like, motif, like, the story, the animation, and the music in it is just so good. You cannot pass up on this show, especially, like, if you love adult animation.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and we're coming off of, like, the tailcoats of, like, the Netflix's Lucifer show, which did phenomenal, you know, and that was a big success. And, like, just the whole angels and demons thing is, I notice a trend. It is more and more popular nowadays.
And even, like, a little bit further back, like, if you go to, like, 90s, early 2000s, and you had, like, Buffy and you had
Angel.
Supernatural, Angel.
Oh, yeah, like, Supernatural, yep.
Yeah, so like these themes have been coded in our youth growing up.
And I will say, like you mentioned, if you're not necessarily a huge fan of musicals, listen, I'm I like very few musicals. Like, there are a couple that I'm just like, yeah, all right, that was catchy. Or there's like one musical in particular that I'll never get tired of. It's just my favorite. But I wouldn't say that it's like my go-to genre to watch.
Fair.
And then Rob dropped a fucking banger on me earlier. He's like, hey, do you realize like every animated Disney cartoon movie from like our childhood is technically a musical? And I was like, oh shit, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you said, the songs are fantastic, and it's not like they're just singing them to put a song in. It actually goes with what they're talking about in the show. Like, they fit together very well. They tie together. They transition into the songs phenomenally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you had mentioned to me that there's two songs per episode.
Yes, there's exactly two per episode.
I will say, I haven't yet, but I've been fighting the urge to go and try to YouTube one specific song.
Ooh.
From there, because it was kind of just catchy to me, and I wanted to re-listen to it, but it's also from the douchebag of the show.
Angels.
What? Listen, I said it's not my go-to. Newsies is my favorite musical. I watch that all the time. But yeah, it's the one where she first goes to try to pitch her idea for the hotel.
Hell is Forever.
Yeah, and it's like the really rocky, you know, heavy metal kind of song that he's singing back at her.
Mm-hmm.
It was catchy. I wanted to listen to it again, but I'm like, ah, man, I fucking hate Adam so much.
Okay, so you want to know what's also really funny about Adam's character in particular, because I also love that song. Like, it's so catchy. It's so fun to sing. I believe that actor, I'll tell you who the actor is, but I believe he plays Beetlejuice in the musical. Really? And he has like this like thing about him where like no matter what character he plays, you can't help but love him so much, because even though his character might be like a terrible person, he does such a good job with the voice acting that it's just like such a memorable performance. Let me see if I can find it, because I did not bring up the IMDb today.
You figure he'd be one of the first people on this list. I have a list of voice actors here.
Let's find out. Wait, I also have a list of voice actors and he's not on here.
Yeah.
Adam.
They have audience member before they even put Adam on there.
That's weird. Maybe because he's not in that many episodes, but I swear he was.
He's in several. Are you looking on the IMDb?
I was. Yeah. Let's see who he's voiced by. Okay, this is silly. Why can't I find his name?
Wow. We're failing the audience here.
Alex Brightman. I found it. Because he also voices Serpentius.
Okay.
Oh, so this is not... Is this? Oh, yeah, no, this is the guy who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He is the Beetlejuice
on Broadway.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, he just does a good job. Because apparently the Beetlejuice soundtrack is also amazing. I haven't listened to it yet. But... Yeah. Musicals, man! But yeah, so, like, that character, like, it's one of those characters that, like, you love to hate him, but, like, you can't help but still, like, appreciate the voice. Because he did such a good job with it.
The only person coming into this, when I looked at the IMDb, the only person that really stood out to me of somebody that I knew... Oh... I probably know her. She looks very familiar. Yeah, I think she was on Modern Family. Possibly. Maybe not. Wow, am I having... How old is Modern Family?
I think it was out when I was...
Oh yeah, she was on Modern Family. All right. So there's only two people that I really recognize, and one of them I just recognized. So so the person who voices Vaggie...
Yes.
She was on Modern Family.
Wait, you only know her from Modern Family?
Yeah, I haven't gone through her IMDb as far as, like, other voice acting stuff. Oh, yeah, Encanto. She voiced Mirabelle.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I've never seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You've never seen... Okay, so Vaggie's voice in Hazbin Hotel is exactly Rosa Diaz's voice in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is not Stephanie Beatrice's normal voice. Her normal voice is more like Mirabelle from Encanto.
Okay. She voiced somebody called Daphne in a show called Crapopolis. That's quite the name of a show. I know her from Twisted Metal too. She played Quiet in Twisted Metal.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's a show. Oh, she also voiced Lady Kima in The Legends of Vox Machina.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, so she's definitely somebody that you would recognize if you heard her. I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person that I came into this show knowing was Keith David, who voiced Husk.
Mm-hmm.
I just know him from, he's in just so many movies and shows. I feel like, the guy who voiced Alistair, but mm-hmm. apparently there were multiple people who voiced Alistair.
I think in the trailer, I don't know if it was the same, not the trailer, there was also a pilot that I haven't watched, so I don't know if any actors have swapped out from the roles.
Gotcha.
Because I see six episodes.
Maybe because I know Alistair is one of those characters who their voice changes quite a bit, like, and drastically throughout the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are just scenes where, like, he'll cut out like his normal radio voice
mm-hmm.
versus his, like, serious demonic voice kind of thing. Maybe they just have two different actors doing those two different voices. I don't know why they would, but...
I think that's just editing. But what I did see that there was a theory about why his voice changes so much. Apparently, in the pilot, I think he does the radio thing more, or there's, like, weird thing under his voice where it's, like, a laugh track while he's talking. But they minimized that for the official release. And nobody... I mean, I'm assuming because it was probably distracting. I haven't actually heard it myself. But that was something that they've noted. And then something to do with his actual story stuff at the end of the last episode. Which, this is probably where the spoilers are going to really start. But his whole thing about whatever deal he has, they think is maybe like, oh, maybe that's like... diminished his power somewhat so that the bottom laugh track of his voice probably isn't there because he doesn't have all of his power or something. So we don't know what the decision was, why they changed his voice, but my gut as a TV watcher who gets distracted a lot, I think it just has to do with it being easier to understand. But I mean, who knows? It could be something more than that.
Oh, snap. Man, I should have really gone through a little bit better, I guess. Jeremy Jordan voices Lucifer. I don't feel like he's super famous, but anybody who watches the CW and watched, like, The Flash and Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
He plays Wynn in Supergirl. Very recognizable face. I did not know that was him when I heard the voice, though, so...
What's interesting, apparently he was in Disney's Newsies, the Broadway musical, as well.
What?
Yeah.
I've only ever seen the movie.
I have not seen any of the Newsies. I would like to, though.
You should. I recommend the movie.
Okay.
It was, well, I think it was Christian Bale's first movie.
Huh, interesting. Yeah,
he was young in that one. All right, so getting back to Hazbin Hotel. So yeah, lots of great cast in here. And I'm sure that if I clicked on a lot of these other ones, there'd be in stuff that I definitely would recognize them from. I'm bad with names, and a lot of them are voice actors, so it's not like you really knew what they look like to begin with. So the premise of Hazbin Hotel. Let's talk about that. What's the plot? We have Charlie Morningstar, main, I guess, the protagonist.
Yeah.
Lucifer's daughter. And she wants...
The Princess of Hell.
The Princess of Hell. And she wants to fix overpopulation. But she wants to do it in a way that is different from the way that Heaven has been dealing with overpopulation. Because Heaven, once a year, has been coming down with a bunch of exorcists and just slaughtering demons for like an hour or something like that, or whatever the time frame was that they said. But they usually do that once a year. And then she, throughout the show, ends up really upsetting Adam, I guess, and they move up the timetable to where they're going to do it like every 6 months now.
Well, actually, it wasn't that she did anything wrong. What happened is the extermination happened earlier in the week, and the angels find one of their exorcists with their head cut off.
That's right.
They move the timetable up to stop the uprising because they were told, like, hey, their numbers are too big. They're going to start rising up against Heaven. We've got to do something. Let's kill half of them so that they can't rise up against us.
Yep. Now, her plan is she opened up this hotel, and she's trying to help whatever souls are willing to try to redeem themselves.
And check out into Heaven.
Now, that's quite a lofty goal from the Princess of Hell. Now, they really only have one customer, this whole season, who's actually, like, there as a customer. Like, everybody else is just kind of her circle of people, and they kind of are there for various reasons. And, you know, I feel like a lot of them have shown improvement and progressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Angel Dust has certainly progressed over the season from what he was. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody kind of grows and becomes more of a family. But their real only, like, first customer, and really their only customer, was the snake guy.
Serpentius.
Serpentius, yeah. I will say this. The best thing about Serpentius is his egg minions.
His egg boys.
I'm not a fan of snakes, but he wasn't too bad. He's one of those very typical... bad eggs, no pun intended, but like where it's like he's like tries to do evil, but it's so over the top that you can't help but just like laugh about it.
You know? Kind of like Dr. Eggman from Sonic.
Yeah.
Where he's just kind of like he's trying to be like this big super villain, so everybody takes him seriously, and he's got like this like crazy steampunk airship that's like his with a death ray on it.
Yeah.
But he just does everything wrong.
And he's very over the top.
Yes.
Just with everything. So that's really their only customer throughout the season. We won't find out if he made improvements yet. Well, like, we won't talk about that quite yet. But why don't you give us kind of a plot breakdown as far as the progression of the show?
So, as far as the progression of the show goes, so we start out, of course, we have to have our introduction. What's this hotel? What's going on? Who these characters are? You find out that Charlie has a lot of help running this hotel because at the start of the week, a character named Alistair comes down. And he's like, oh, I can help you with this whole hotel business. Like, I'll be your, like, executive producer behind the scenes. Like, I'll build this hotel. I'll do all the repairs. Because he's one of the overlords of hell. So, overlords, basically, the more indebted different demons are to other demons, the more powerful they get. And then the ones that have a lot of people who make deals with them wind up becoming overlords because they have the most power. So Alistair is one of these overlords, so he has a lot of power. So he's able to just repair things at will. He's known as the Radio Demon, and that comes up just due to his past and his character. Also helping out is Vaggy, who is Charlie's girlfriend. Pretty much just her kind of partner in everything, trying to help her make her dreams come true. You also have Nifty and Husk, who also come with Alistair. You find out that Husk is somewhat indebted to Alistair, but we don't really know why. There's one song that they go into it for like two lines, but that's really it. Mm-hmm. And Nifty, which we don't really know a whole lot about Nifty.
Favorite character in the show. That's all I need to know. Nifty is psychotic.
Yeah, she's pretty great. So the first episode, she goes and she has this whole meeting with Heaven, trying to get them behind her plan to redeem the sinners so they can move on to Heaven. But it doesn't really go very well. You find out that the next extermination's moved up 6 months. So then they kind of are dealing with trying as fast as they can to get somebody redeemed as fast as they can. Hoping that people will be more desperate with the timeline cut in half. Yeah. Then later on, like, more characters kind of come in. You meet Serpentius, because he has this whole fight with Alistair, but it doesn't go well. And he tries to kind of spy on them for this other group of overlords, but that doesn't go well. But instead of killing him, they decide to say, like, hey, maybe this is a lesson. We can help you on your path.
Yeah. And, I mean, he ends up turning a new leaf and staying there and actually becoming friends with them. After that, which was, in my opinion, nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he didn't end up, like, continually trying to screw them over. Like, he went there under a guise, they caught him, jig was up, he gave up. I will say, when he first showed up and started his big speech to Alistair, and Alistair's like, who are you? Like, I don't remember you.
Like, you were a very memorable opponent then.
Yeah, I loved that angle, and I could not stop thinking of weird pixelated Pokemon Cowboy that I keep popping into D&D games.
Yeah.
Just to mess with Ryan's character. And, like, he's, like, I just pictured him popping in, having, like, this long monologue, and then Ryan's character being like, who are you again? I don't know you. Like, so, that made me chuckle. I will say, okay, I have a question now.
Yes.
As we're progressing through the show. Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Is he self-proclaimed, like, head angel?
I don't know if he's actually the head angel. I think that, like...
Like, he seems to be... He seems to think he is. And no other angel really kind of, like, puts him in his place otherwise?
I think it's just because he's the first human, so, to make it into Heaven.
Okay.
So, like, that's, like, because he's the first, he's kind of special. But, I mean... I don't know if he has any weight, although he was in that whole, like, angel meeting, and most people wouldn't be. And he's also kind of, like, the leader of the Exorcists.
Yeah.
So he became the commander of the angelic military force known as the Exorcists, and serves Heaven as a forerunner of the extermination movement. But, like, I don't know, like, if he has, like, a specific rank.
Maybe he, maybe it was, like, maybe the extermination movement thing was kind of his idea. So
it could be.
They threw him in charge of it because he was the first human soul to be an angel.
That's possible.
Which, honestly, like, if his personality as a human while he was alive was anything like he is when he's an angel, I don't see how he's an angel.
Yeah.
Like, he's a douche.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they say in the one song, the, if hell is forever, then heaven must be a lie if angels can do whatever and remain in the sky. Yeah. So, like, nobody's putting him in his place. So, like, there's no risk of him going to hell even if he's a complete douche canoe in heaven.
I mean, Lucifer put him in his place. At the
well, end. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're looking into heaven, then they, I mean, they've cast Lucifer out, so yeah. He has no rank above Adam anyway.
Right. Yeah, nobody in heaven is putting him in his place, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, okay, where were we?
In the show synopsis?
Yeah.
Episode 3.
Oh, which, shit.
I have the music open so I can keep track. Oh, wait, we didn't talk about the V's.
V's
are a group of three, what did I call them?
Like, crime families, right?
They're, no, the overlords. The three overlords that make up the V's. It's Valentino, Vox, and Velvet. And they all have, like, media personalities. So, one big media export is porn in hell. So Valentino leads that charge. Vox is all TV, and Velvet is clothing and fashion and social media.
Yeah.
So the three of them, because they've teamed up, are extremely powerful. But the TV demon, who is Vox, has this whole rivalry with Alistair, who's the radio demon, and it's this whole, like, video killed the radio star sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of hint at Alistair having been gone for 7 years, and Alistair almost beat Vox, but then, like, he disappeared. So we don't really know, or at least I don't know, much about what that whole situation was. It could have been something that was done in backstory, because the show has been in the works for so long. I don't really know its history. I really only know what Instagram has been serving to me for the past couple of weeks. So they have this whole rivalry thing going on. And then, so that's pretty much Vox and the V's.
We should say, too, that which one's the director guy again? Valentino. Has angel dust under
contract.
Contract, yeah.
Part-time,
yeah. An angel is one of the people who stay at the hotel and who's friends with Charlie and all everyone. Them. He's so, a porn star.
apparently the best-selling in hell. So, yeah. Most famous in hell. All of the overlords kind of get to this meeting where they discuss what to do about the exterminations because it's been moved up. And that's when Velvet shows up and she's like, hey, I have the angel's head. Does somebody want to talk about this? And you find out there's, like, a whole bunch of different overlords. There's a weapons dealer. There's the overlord that is part of the cannibal town. Like, a bunch of different people. And so the Velvet and the guns dealer, her name is Carmilla, get into this whole fight about it, and then you find out that Carmilla was actually the one responsible for the angel dying, but she didn't want to tell anybody because it would put her family at risk, and she only killed the angel as, like, complete self-defense.
Right.
But they're kind of saying, like, hey, we know that it's possible to kill angels now. Why can't we just use this to rise up? And she's like, I don't want anybody to rise up because that's just going to put everything at risk. Everything we've built for, everything we've done, we're safer if we just don't do that. But, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. So it pretty much stays hidden for a while, except one of the little egg boys finds this out because Alistair is like, hey, go spy on those people. So he finds it out and he goes and tells Alistair, and Alistair's like, hey, don't tell anybody.
And he immediately tells Serpentius.
But he doesn't believe him because they say dumb shit all the time.
Yeah, and Serpentius is like, that's nice. And tomorrow you can go look for Bigfoot.
So the audience knows they're so good. They're like, oh god, Frank's up there. We have names?
We have names?
Oh my gosh, it's so fucking funny. I will also say Respectless, which is the song where they're fighting about this whole angel head situation, is probably one of my favorite songs, and it's not my genre of music at all. It's just so much fun to sing. Yeah. And I cannot stress enough, I cannot sing, but it is so fun to just scream it at the top of your lungs in the car.
Yeah, hey, you know, I mean, I sing along with songs that I really, really enjoy too, and I'm definitely no singer. It's one of those releases, though. It's one of those things where it's just something about it. Even if you know you're not good and you don't sound good to your own ears, and it's just, it feels good to just belt out a song, you know?
It does. And that's kind of like the awesome thing about this whole playlist, is because there's all different types of like styles in each of the songs, because it's all sung by different characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have been listening to this album like on repeat. Whoops, I accidentally hit play. Since I watched it probably about a month ago. Like, this is all I've been playing in my car. Like, I am breathing this music.
How long have we... This is on Amazon Prime, I believe, right?
Yes.
Now, how long has it been on Prime Video for currently?
I don't think long. I think it came out in January.
Okay. Because looking at it, And you can correct me if I'm wrong, they released the pilot on YouTube back in 2019.
Yes.
So this has been in production since then.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a long time, which is why I had such a following behind it before it even started.
Yeah. And I mean, it does kind of like... I guess... Okay, so... I'm conflicted here. So, like, part of me thinks that, okay, it's been in production, and, you know, people have had, like, the gears turning on this particular show since 2019, since before 2019, because they had to put the pilot out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're currently in 2024, okay? And it finally got put out, but there's only 8 episodes. But,
yeah.
So, like, part of me is like, well, you know, you spent fucking 5 years doing this, you know, and we only got 8 episodes. But the other part of me is like, those were 8 fucking fantastic episodes.
And also, it's completely animated. And the whole process of getting it approved by different, and, like, pitching it to different studios and stuff to actually get it made also takes time.
Yeah.
So I don't know when all that stuff happened, but I did hear that the voice actors, I think, filmed, like, a year or two ago. So, like, they filmed it for, like, in, like, an afternoon, and then they just like, okay, well, I guess we'll see it when it comes out. And they were like, okay, well, we didn't really know it was coming out.
Well, I will say I have a breakdown of the production process. So, October 28th, 2019 was when the pilot was released on YouTube.
Okay.
August 7th of 2020, it was announced that Aspen Hotel had been picked up by independent production and entertainment company, A24. Mm-hmm. They announced the upcoming show as Coming Soon to TV.
Interesting.
October of 2021... an official Twitter account and an official Instagram account were opened for the show. The Twitter account inherited its username from the account originally set up by Medrano,
the creator.
Yep, which was moved to a separate updates account that focused on the series production merchandise. December of 2021, Several members of the main cast from the Has-Been Hotel pilot announced that they were not recast into the main show.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Kovac mentioned on his social media that he had not been tafted. I don't know what that word is. Provided with a mandatory invitation to join SAG by anyone involved with the production. December... They went back in time. Because that was December 22nd. Now we're on December 21st of 2021. That must be a typo. They were... So, Broadway actresses Leslie Kritzer and Erica Henningsen posted to their Instagram that they were confirmed involved with the production. It seemed like in 2021 there was a lot of teaser stuff being put out and a lot of people just saying, oh yeah, we're working with this.
Okay.
Early 2022, an image of the redesigned Charlie with her new official name, Charlie Morningstar, was released.
Okay.
So they redesigned Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the trailer.
Yeah, let's watch it.
March of 2022, they hired on a bunch of artists. Many artists, alumni from both Has-Been Hotel Pilot and Hell of a Boss, such as second season writer Adam Neelan, animation artist Ames Heard, background lead Amanda Heard, and cleanup artist Sam Abriz collectively received the okay to announce their involvement. It seemed like a lot of mid-2022 is teaser stuff. Mid-2022 was redesign of Vaggy, redesign of Husk, redesign of Nifty. So they just went through and redesigned Serpentis. They redesigned everybody. Apparently.
Yeah, I see some like slightly older art in different styles. So.
So all of the redesigns took from mid to late 2022.
Mm-hmm.
More teasers were let out at the end of 2022. 2023, they did a wrap-up party in Australia to celebrate the end of production on season one. Let's see. Mid-2023, they started putting out a lot of stuff for Angel Dust and a lot more teaser things and pretty much generally promoting it because they had already wrapped and finished the first season of it. So the rest of 2023 was just pushing and promoting. And then on September 28th, 2023, an announcement was released that revealed season one would air on Prime Video January of 2024. And a confirmed season two was on its way.
Yep. All right. That's so, pretty much brings us back up to time now.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, it was a long schedule, but I mean, it got us here at the end.
Again, I think, you know, like you said, like having to find the right company and a company that was willing to accept the pitch idea for it and things like that, I'm sure that all took time and stuff, but like, I feel like from the drop of the trailer to what we got as a final product, I'm happy with it. I think it's a phenomenal show for the time that it took and for, I mean, again, I would have liked to have a little bit more than 8 episodes, but maybe that's just Prime's format. I don't
remember how many like Vox Machina got.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I don't remember it being that many. But I guess all these different streaming services also have their own like formats where it's like Netflix usually does 10 or 12 episodes, you know. But I don't know. I'm happy that there's already a confirmed season two.
Yes.
I'm just hoping that, you know, it's not another 3 years before we get it.
I don't think it will. I think that people had, like, estimated it was going to be 2 years, but then somebody else, like, I don't remember if it was the show or Amazon, was like, no, it'll only be 1 year. Because I think, I remember us thinking the same thing about Vox Machina, where we're like, this thing was in production for, like, 5 years. And then we got season one, and we're like, oh, man, now we got to wait for season two. We don't want it to be, like, another 5 years. And they're like, no, it's going to be 2 years. And then it wound up being, like, literally the next January.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that come you know, January 2025, they're just like, hey, season two's here. It's like, all right. You know?
Yeah.
So, okay, back to the show.
Uh-huh.
Where did we leave off on that?
We left off at episode 4.
Oh my god, all this shit happened and it was only episode 4?
Yeah, so episode 4 is a lot about Angel Dust's story and about, like, his whole, like, over-the-top, like, sexualized persona and, like, everything that he does for work. Charlie kind of takes it upon herself to try to get Angel out of work, so that he can help out more with the hotel, that it goes horribly wrong, and Angel gets, like, really, really thrown around and really, like, treated terribly by Valentino. And there's probably two of the best songs in the show in the one episode.
Yeah.
It's such, like, a powerful episode, and it's, like, an important episode, and it's got, like, the best music in it, and, like, it's terrible what happens. I will just completely preface it, like, there's a lot of, like, sexual assault and abuse in this episode, so it's not for the faint of heart, but, right. Like, it's still, like, that episode does a lot for Angel's character development, and, like, helps him stick up for himself, too.
Right, and see, like, so I'm glad we brought that up, too. Like, I'm not a proponent or like
supporter.
Yeah, I'm not a supporter of that type of material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if done correctly, which I feel like this show did, it really, 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 like, excels and just really, like, cements certain storylines with certain characters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like you said, like, this as bad as it was, it really made you feel for Angel, and it really got Angel's point of view across.
Mm-hmm.
In the best way I feel like they could have. Like, I felt like the show did it very well and very tastefully, you know, as much as, you know, that subject matter can be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I start, like, when I watch movies or shows or something and they just have that type of stuff in it just to have it in it,
mm-hmm.
it turns my stomach.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember walking out of, it's the only show I've ever walked out of a theater on, and it was The Hills Have Eyes,
mm-hmm.
because there was a scene that it just turned my stomach, and I was like, there's mm-hmm. no need for this. This doesn't add anything to the movie.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, send the story along, then it's,
right.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I think they handled this very well, and it really gets you to feel for Angel, and it gets mm-hmm. his story to, like, shine through the darkness of that type of content, you know?
I also think that that episode was kind of the catalyst for Angel to kind of, like, start actually being on this path, like, truly of redemption.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was holding him back, because he's like, oh, I can't be, like, this is just who I am, like, I have to be fake for people. But then he kind of, like, Husk kind of, like, comes and, like, explains to him, like, hey, like, like, we could really be in this together. And, like, they have this whole bonding thing, and they wind up being much closer. Because the whole first half of the show, like, Angel's constantly, like, jokingly, but also not jokingly, like, coming on to Husk, and Husk is like, man, like, boundaries, man, like, this is not cool. And they kind of, like, have this whole argument about it, and, it's just nice that, like, I don't know, like, they were able to kind of, like, grow together because of this experience, and, like, it really, like, it helped, like, kind of make the characters of the hotel, like, actually feel like a family at this point. Like, this was, like, the turning point for Angel, and I think everything after this, he's like, okay, no, I can be better. Like, this isn't me, this is just what I do for work, and it's fine.
Right.
So.
I think also one thing that happened in that episode kind of gave me goosebumps, and it was I feel like it was really the only thing that happened in the entire show that gave me like that type of goosebumpy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we had talked about it leading up to that episode about Charlie and her powers in hell. You know, she is the princess of hell. She does have power, but you were telling me, she doesn't like utilizing it because she doesn't want to force people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But in this episode, she starts to, you know, you see her start to put her foot down with Valentino.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like on the cusp of being ready to use her powers. And then Angel steps in and puts his foot down with her.
Mm-hmm.
And makes her leave because, you know, she's already done enough, and she's already made his day a lot harder than it needed to be.
Yeah.
And he knows it. And he doesn't want her involved in that aspect of things, you know?
Right.
And I feel like it was also his way of, like, protecting her to a point.
Yeah. Because, like, he, and even when, like, he was arguing with that Valentino, it was like, don't mess with her. Like, your problem's with me, not her. So, right. Like, he is trying to protect her because, like, she is so, not naive, but, like, she wants to see the best in everyone that she will kind of push back the bad sides of people in hopes that there's a good side.
Right.
And, like, I get that she probably realizes, like, you know, there's no good side in Valentino. But, like, and she tried, but, like, also her, like, stepping down for her friend and, like.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of a lesson, too, that she had to learn. And I'm not necessarily sure that she's learned it fully yet.
Mm-mm.
But she has to learn, and I think she's in the road to learning that, like, not every soul is worth redemption. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, some people are just so rotten and so cancerous that it's just like, okay, all I can do is try to stop this from spreading into the people that I care about.
Yeah.
You know? Man, that was only episode 4?
Yeah.
Jesus.
We can rapid fire the rest.
I just feel like, I feel like, wow, so much has happened.
It is a decent length show.
I will say, too, like, how long is each episode?
Like 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
So the episodes aren't very long, but from beginning to end, they're packed full of stuff.
Yeah, there's no time wasted.
Yeah. Which I enjoy.
Yeah, me too.
And
it's like, you don't need a filler beach episode in every series.
Right. And they don't do, like, the whole, like, first 5-10 minutes of, like, last time on such, you know? But, like, so, yeah, okay, so after that, I mean, eventually she ends up calling Dad for help.
Yes, she does. Literally the next episode. She calls Dad for a little bit of help because as the extermination is coming closer and they're no closer to having anybody redeemed, she asks her dad for help to get people into the hotel. And then there's this whole kind of, like, power struggle between Alistair and Lucifer, who's her dad, because Alistair's kind of taken this place of a father figure in her life, and, like, Lucifer wasn't there for her.
Right.
So they wind up.
I love the fact, I love it, that Lucifer is off doing his own little, what was he making, exploding rubber ducks or something like that? He was off in his own little thing doing whatever, but then the second Charlie called him, he was nervous.
Yeah.
Like, he's the king of hell, and that's his daughter, but, like, he's the one who's nervous.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. It's very cute, their relationship, after it, like, develops a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's a little less nervous to call on him. So they try to get the hotel kind of, like, a little bit better shape to get people in, repair their relationship a little bit. Oh, and she's asking them for another meeting with Heaven. That was really why she called them. She wanted another meeting with Heaven to, like, as a last-ditch effort, like, please stop killing my people. And he grants it to her after, like, a whole heartfelt moment. And then the next episode, they go to Heaven.
Yeah, and her and Vaggie, right?
Her and Vaggie go to Heaven. They go to try to have a meeting with the... I don't know, the council of angels.
Yeah, and the seraphim.
Yep, the seraphims. And Adam spots them and is like, what the hell are they doing here? And then he kind of threatens Vaggie because Vaggie's not been 100% honest about who she is. So they go and they have this meeting and they try to argue that some of their sinners have been making, like, have redeeming qualities, and that they've been making, like, a real effort to, like, make better decisions and earn a place in heaven. And they really focus on Angel Dust because he has been making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that even though the first time they kind of look and see what he's done, he does make some mistakes, he does inevitably check everything off the list. So there's no reason why they couldn't be redeemed, and she kind of, like, shows one of the seraphims, Emily, that it's possible. Like, why can't they be redeemed? And then it's this whole thing. They're like, well, hell is forever, and you can't come up here because we said so.
Right.
And then it's... And I know I've said this already about multiple songs, that it's the best song, but this one really is the best song.
I love their little... Here's your three check boxes written in crayon, and this is like these are the boxes that need to be checked for you to be able to be in heaven. And like I love when she stands up to like everybody at that meeting and she's like, you guys are all angels and you don't know what it takes to get into heaven.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were just here. You don't know anything else other than this.
Yeah.
You know?
Like nobody knows what separates the sinners from the angels. So like it's almost arbitrary, but like they should know, and there's no reason why somebody couldn't like redeem themselves or be rejudged.
Yeah.
But as far as anybody knows, it shouldn't be possible. And then just like with all the tension and everything going on, Adam lets it slip that like he can't wait to exterminate them. But then you find out that the rest of the angels don't know that this extermination is even happening. So they have no idea that the exorcists are going down to hell once a year and killing people, and that they'd be doing it again in like a couple of weeks. So it causes like all of this commotion and kind of almost like feel like the start of a rebellion in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they basically just say, like, look what you've done, we're not granting your wish, goodbye. And they kind of kick Charlie and Vaggie out of heaven, but not before Adam also reveals that Vaggie was once an angel like them, an exorcist no less.
That blew my mind. I did not see that coming.
So what's funny is when they first, when I saw the designs of, like, Adam and the angels, I was like, wow, Vaggie's color palette is very similar to that. And then it wasn't until that episode that I was like, nope, that makes perfect sense. I see it in every aspect of her design, from her eyelashes being feathers to her hair looking like wings. So it definitely, like, it was still surprising, but it's like, why was I surprised? Like, it should have been obvious.
Yeah. It very much, to me, it very much was one of those things where it was like, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I should have seen this the entire time, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I've been too blinded by the music.
Yep.
That's all it is.
So then they get put back into the hotel. They have to explain, like, hey, that was a no-go. Adam's coming here first, so we have to fortify the hotel because he's going to take us out first. He's focusing all of his attack on the hotel.
Yep.
So then, Vaggie and Charlie kind of have this whole, like, Vaggie feels bad because she feels like she's lied to Charlie because she didn't tell her who she really was. Charlie feels like she was lied to, but at the same time, like, how do you tell your girlfriend that you were once a person who came down and killed your people until you had a change of heart and realized, hey, this is wrong? And right. Then that just left you. They left, basically, go ahead.
If anybody, Vaggie should know that Charlie sees the best and believes in second chances.
Exactly.
So
Charlie is probably the best person to forgive her for this. And she does come around quickly, which is good. She realizes that despite Vaggie's past, she's done nothing to let Charlie believe that she would turn on her or that she was malicious in holding that back.
Right.
Because she's felt nothing but love from her.
Yep.
So in that episode, Vaggie goes off to Carmela Carmine because she finds out that she was the one who beheaded the angel in the first place, so she knows that they can be killed. So she asks her, like, hey, I need your help trying to figure out how to kill these guys because you don't have to help us if you don't want to, but they're coming regardless, and if they're not going to stop at us. And then Carmela already knows that Vaggie's an angel, because she's like, what? It was obvious. You carry an angel's weapon.
Yeah.
And then they have this whole, like, fighting montage of training, and she...
One of the best songs ever
in the show. It is good. It is a good one. Out for Love. That's a good one. And then she pretty much teaches her, like, hey, your weakness, or the angel's weakness, is that they don't think they can be killed. Like, they fight with reckless abandon, and, like, nothing can touch them, but in actuality, their own weapons can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So, armed with that knowledge and a bunch of guns, she goes back to the hotel where Charlie has also assembled all the cannibals from Cannibal Town.
Heck yeah.
To come and help the fight so that they can get unlimited angel wings, like a buffet.
Yep. All she had to do was convince one Susan.
Susan,
oh my God. the most caring person in Cannibal Town.
Yeah. But you know what? They come around for her song, and, like, she really, really is ready to lead the fight, and that's where we pretty much end up for the finale, which is the actual fight where the angels come down. Alistair's there with his whole force field thing. They're all doing pretty well until Angel knocks out Alistair, and then kind of as, like, a last-ditch effort, Serpentius does the ultimate sacrifice.
Yep. He tells Cherry Bomb that he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes up into his fucking weird blimp thing.
Yeah.
And then mans the cannons, orders his little Eggberts around.
Starts firing the laser.
And then just gets literally Thanos'd out of existence. Just finger snapped out of existence.
By Adam. So he's gone.
That douche.
Yeah. So, like, all in vain. They feel like all hope is lost. But then Lucifer comes and joins the fight and takes Adam down a peg or two. Charlie goes, like, full demon mode. One of her adorable, beloved... Little goat companions gets their head chopped off.
Yep.
Oh, Razzle / Dazzle. I don't know which one you were, but you were beloved. And then they kind of get Adam kind of prone. And then he has his whole, like, closing monologue. And then... Go ahead.
It's just the very... Wait, which part am I saying? The very
What happens scene? To Adam?
Oh, yeah. So, Nifty, who was handed just like this. I don't know what it was. I don't. Was it a dagger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Small knife.
Yeah, she was handed like this steak knife made out of angel, like an angel weapon there, an angel blade, and she was just told, okay, just stab angels. If you see an angel, stab them. And then she immediately tried to stab the good angel.
Angel dust.
Angel dust. And then everyone was like, no, 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 wrong angel. So as Adam's having this monologue, just cuts off completely as Nifty comes over and just starts repeatedly stabbing him in the chest and face. It was great. I love Nifty. So she killed Adam.
Yep.
Even though Lucifer was going to kill Adam, but Charlie stopped him and said that he had enough. Yeah.
They basically were saying, like, hey, you have mercy. And Vaggie kind of did the same thing with Lute, who was the other head exorcist.
Yeah, like Adam's right hand.
Yeah, and she's basically, I think her words were, you only live because I let you live, and, like, that's going to weigh on her soul.
Yep. And it is important to know that what was that exorcist's name?
Lute.
Lute. Lute took Vaggie's eye.
Yes.
And when Vaggie left Lute trapped underneath all the rubble, Lute ripped off her own arm to get free.
To get out.
So it was an eye for an arm sort of situation. Yeah. I would have to say, out of all that, Nifty was probably MVP for getting, you know, the kill steal on Adam.
Yeah.
She definitely killed the most powerful of the angels that day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then we see a little blurb from somebody that we thought was gone.
We do. So the whole series opens up with Charlie stating that her mom's been gone for 7 years. She's off doing something. She cared about her people of hell, so she was doing something to save them from the extermination. At the end, when Lute returns home without Adam and explains that, hey, they killed him, you gotta do something about this, she's talking to none other than Lilith, Charlie's mother, who is in heaven.
Yeah, just drinking mojitos, soaking in the sun. You know?
So she's been gone for 7 years doing God knows what. Didn't tell anybody she's in heaven, and now it's her responsibility to do something about Charlie.
All the while, now, Charlie and all them rebuilding the hotel.
Yep.
And we see Alistair go into his little radio tower and just kind of like gather himself, I'll say, is probably the best way to word that. But everybody's getting along and rebuilding the hotel together. And then there's a big song about it. And then we hear from one other person that we thought was gone for a while,
which was Alistair, who laments about a deal that he has having a back door. And that he has to figure out how to unclip his wings. So, speculate on that. But the going theory is that since they've been gone for the same amount of time, which is 7 years, Alistair, we think, made a deal with Lilith for some reason, which also kind of ties into his reappearing. He comes back and literally, like, not a week later, the show starts. So he comes back, finds Charlie, says, hey, I'm going to help you with this thing. I'm going to build the hotel. Don't even worry about it. Like, this is not a deal. Like, I'm doing this to help you. And then a week later, we have the show where the hotel is where it is. So the going theory is that Lilith has a deal with Alistair. Alistair has a deal with Lilith, however you want to word it. Where maybe Alistair has to go and help Charlie for some reason. Lilith, I think, has taken Charlie away from Lucifer, which is why their relationship was so estranged. So maybe he's trying to get Charlie into heaven with Lilith, because Charlie didn't go to hell for anything that she did. She was born in hell. She's hellborn. So she's exempt from the exorcisms. but that also means that, like, she can't really go to heaven. But it also means she didn't do anything to earn her place in hell.
Right.
So, it could be that Lilith is trying to get Charlie into heaven with Alistair's help. We don't know. But, like,
now,
what do you think?
Do you think that, okay, I have two theories here, possibly. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Alistair, like, by saying that he needs to find a way to clip his wings, this, that, and the other thing, do you think, like, the deal that he has with Lilith, assuming that there is one,
mm-hmm.
is that he's not allowed to do anything, quote-unquote, bad to Charlie or her friends? Or at least maybe just Charlie. So that's why he's kind of, like, looking out after her. And, like, he's having to, like, put his neck out there to, like, make sure mm-hmm. she's okay and stuff. And maybe by him saying he needs to clip his wings means he needs to get rid of the angel side on, like, the angel on his shoulder being Lilith. Mm-hmm. So that he can do bad things to Charlie. Like, I want to like Alistair.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's something there where he's going to end up being, like, he is a bad person. Like, he's a demon overlord. Like,
yeah, and he deserves to be a demon overlord because of, he got there because he was this nobody respected him, but then overlord started going missing, and that's how he got his power, because he took down the other overlords.
Right.
I don't think that he personally wants to see anything bad happen to Charlie, but I think that he recognizes that as the Princess of Hell, Charlie has a lot of power, and if he makes a deal with her, that could be really powerful for him.
Right.
And he does make a deal with her.
Yeah, but not for her soul or anything.
Oh, but for a favor.
Right.
Which, if she's that powerful, that favor is going to be expensive.
That's true.
So, I mean, we'll see what kind of favor that actually is going to be. I mean, we don't really know much about his plans. So I don't think he wants to see harm to Charlie or her friends. I think he really just wants power however he can get it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he means by clipping his wings, and maybe he doesn't want to be in servitude to, you know, potentially Lilith or whoever it is that he has a deal with. Because we do know that he has a deal with somebody where he is also on a leash because the bartender.
Yes.
Mentioned that.
Husk mentions that he was talking a lot of game for somebody also on a leash.
Right.
Which is why I assumed it's Lilith's leash that he's on.
Yeah, it got to be somebody powerful.
Yeah.
And the way he talks to Lucifer, I really don't think it's Lucifer.
It's not Lucifer.
Other
thing worth saying is I think the phrase is unclip his wings. So when your wings are clipped, it means you can't fly anymore. So he's trying to get that back.
Yeah. So maybe he just wants out of this bind. Like, maybe he just wants to be the most powerful person in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Possible.
I mean, to do that, though, he'd have to either get rid of or be on the good side of Charlie and Lucifer.
Yeah.
You know? But, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Alistair is probably the most curious character for me right now. Yeah. I know a lot of people love Alistair. Like, one of my best friends, like, Alistair is her absolute favorite character. And, like, I get it, because, like, he's, like, an interesting character. But at the same time, like, I know he's hiding something, and that bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I will say I like Alistair as a character. I mm-hmm. do. It's hard not to like him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, there's just more to it that I don't know yet. And that kind of eats away at me a little bit. So, like, I don't want to emotionally let myself be like, oh, I fucking love this character. And then him turn around and be like the next Adam, because I really do not like Adam.
Well, you know what? That's actually a really good, like, segue. Like, where do we think the show is going next? Now that the main, like, antagonist with Adam being dead, like, what do we think the next main goal for season two is?
Well, we did have another little cameo from somebody who we thought was gone again.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. We didn't finish talking about that episode.
Yeah, we at the end of the episode, we get a little cameo from Serpentius.
Serpentius.
Literally obliterated with a snap of a finger by Adam. Talking to some desk clerk person up in hell. Or up in heaven.
Yeah, he's with the seraphims.
Yeah.
In heaven, so it's...
And everyone is confused. He's confused, they're confused.
Emily's a little excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it's confirmed possible that once, like, if you do redeem yourself, you can go to heaven.
So I'm wondering now if maybe come season two, if part of it is going to be heaven trying to keep that a big secret.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if that news does get out and people realize, oh, you know, you can be redeemed, you know, then what if demons just try to act redeemed to go up to then just kind of start causing trouble up in heaven?
I feel like the whole thing is that you have to truly be redeemed. You can't just pretend that you've been redeemed. But, I mean, I think that there's, like... I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious if Adam's going to actually come back as a sinner. I think that would be hilarious if it just takes him down a peg.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if people can go up, maybe people can go down.
That's true.
I think Adam, if he comes back, might have a rude awakening.
Hopefully he works for Valentino.
Well, we'll see. Could be a little rough to wish on somebody, but...
That's fair.
I would also be curious if Alistair winds up being... Maybe not in season two. Like, I don't know if Alistair's, like, true intentions are going to come out. If he might be, like, a big bad of season two or maybe season three. I did have a thought that something else could have been the big bad of season... two. I don't know if it would be the angels and seraphim again, though. But I mean, I could see them keeping it a secret and, like, to try and dash hopes. But with Adam gone and now heaven realizing that the exorcisms are even happening, I feel like they probably won't happen anymore.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that Alistair might be the villain of season two.
Maybe. I will say, his name, and I mean, they might just be taking just names randomly or whatnot. I don't know how much lore they're trying to pull in. Like, I know Alistair is an important / notable figure in hell.
Tried to look that up, but I wasn't looking at Alistair. What have you learned, according to mythology?
Well, I know I've heard it in things like Supernatural. He was in Supernatural. So then, like, if you like Google him, you know, it's various different things. But, like, this particular one I just pulled up real quick. It says, like, Alistair's origins are mostly unknown, though it is implied that he was once a destroyer angel.
Mm-hmm.
That was cast into the pit for his heinous deeds.
Which would explain the unclipping wings.
Right. So maybe Alistair's not... Maybe he's trying to...
get back into heaven.
Yeah.
So, okay, then also... one, how did Lilith get into heaven? And two... if Alistair made a deal with Lilith in heaven... and then came back to hell... how would he have done it? I mean, I guess you could just open a portal to heaven, but I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, how did, I mean, they sent Charlie up there through a portal.
They did, but I think the angels had to open it.
Yeah. then somebody up there, some angel up there, had Lilith, brought Lilith up there.
Mm-hmm. It's all, there's so much. Concept and creation of Alistair's character, originally intended to be a character that would feature in the Angels and Demons arc of running webcomic. And that's how Hazbin Hotel came to be. Alistair's name can be translated from ancient Greek to spirit of revenge or tormentor. This might just be regular trivia, though.
Okay, so myth and legend on Alistair.
Okay.
In times, Alistair was associated with both Greek and Roman mythology. In Greek mythology, Alistair is associated with the sins that pass down generations from fathers to sons. Mm-hmm. In Roman mythology, he is notorious as the evil genius of the household who entices residents to commit sins. He is often associated with family feuds. So, maybe season two he's going to try to drive a wedge between Charlie and Lucifer. Because tried to kind of do that.
Yes, he did.
This season.
And you know what? That's actually a good point. Because if he is in cahoots with Lilith, and Lilith is trying to separate Charlie and her father so that she can come up to heaven, that would make sense if he's trying to sow, like, household discord.
Maybe, and separate the two of them. Maybe he offered his services to Charlie at the beginning, so she wouldn't feel the need to have to call Lucifer in the first place.
Possible.
Like, of just being like, hey, I'll help you out. You don't need dad. You know?
Yeah.
Huh. Man.
These are all interesting theories.
Gears are turning now.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next season. That's all I'm going to say.
Me too. I'm excited about these characters. Like, I'm seeing this, like, literally all over, like, Instagram reels, because that's where I get most of my entertainment. And Instagram has figured out that I like the show and is only serving me reels from the show, so.
Well.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah. All right, well, we're over the hour mark, so I guess we'll end there. Is there anything else that you'd like? I think we covered pretty much everything on the show, including some theories of ours. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, favorite character. Okay, Vaggie.
Nice. Good choice.
Yeah, I really like Vaggie.
I really love Vaggie. Nifty's got to be mine, though. I always go for the little crazy ones. Like, I like I loved Nifty. I loved King, you know.
So, yeah, true.
And for anybody who's out there who has seen Invader Zim, they have a lot of Gurr energy to them.
I see it.
So, I love that. That little bound of that little bundle of chaotic goodness.
Yeah.
So, well, you got to watch the show then, Rob, because you'll love Nifty.
No, Rob's gonna love Angel Dust.
Yeah, you really would love Angel Dust. You're gonna love Angel Dust when you watch this show. So.
Is Rob into musical theater?
Rob loves musicals, are you joking?
Rob, you're gonna love this show! Like, literally, so, in high school, I mean, I would say I did musical theater, but I was stage manager and backstage crew, but, like, so I have an appreciation for musical theater. Everyone,
Rob, you were
I know.
Musical theater, right?
No. I can't sing to save my life. I was in regular theater.
Oh, he did regular theater because he can't sing, but he loves
musicals. That's fine. Anybody I know who has an appreciation for theater or musical theater has absolutely loved this show. It is, like, and also if you like jazz, like, the jazz musical theater crossover and Hazbin Hotel fans is a circle.
Yeah.
So, Rob should absolutely watch it. I think he's going to love it.
Well, I will definitely try to get him to watch this show. We're currently in the process because the new X-Men animated series coming out on Disney or Disney Plus rather, which is a continuation of the old school 90s X-Men animated series. is coming out in the end of the month. So we're currently, we did the math, and we're currently watching every night before I go to bed anyway, because Rob stays up until freaking God knows when. We've been watching several episodes of the old 90s cartoon to get caught up. Because I'm really looking forward to the continuation of that. I was a huge X-Men fan back in the day, so.
Nice.
But, all right, so, with that, I don't have any life advice or science corner. Do you know anything science-y?
I'm trying to think of any random science fun fact that
you know what? Hey, even better. You being part of the SU family, I'll say. I'm gonna take a thing off of your Twitch channel.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say, because Rob is a science guy, so he does the science corner. Devin hasn't been on in a while because his life is very hectic right now, but he usually does the life advice with Devin. Mm-hmm, that's how that started. Let's go with random Disney fact. Give us some Disney facts.
Random Disney fact. Hidden Mickeys are a thing that are all over Walt Disney World, and probably Disneyland, but I think more so Walt Disney World. No, I know of some in Disneyland. Anyways,
which one's Disney World? Up
Florida.
Florida, okay.
There, in addition to Hidden Mickeys, or at least under the umbrella of Hidden Mickeys, there are different hidden things. So, like, outside of Splash Mountain, no, Big Thunder Mountain, there used to be a hidden Tinkerbell. But if you go to the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, there is a the Voyage of the Little Mermaid sits on top of where the old 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride used to be. The lagoon was actually like emptied and then like refilled. But where that ride is where 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is. And if you look, I believe there's not just one, but there are two hidden Mickeys that are actually hidden Nautilus ships, which are the boats that the ships that Captain Nemo, the subs that he had. So that's the Nautilus. So there's two hidden Nautilus in Disney World's Voyage of the Little Mermaid line.
Oh, so Before we leave, I've never been to Disneyland, Disney World, any of them.
Yeah.
So what's a hidden Mickey?
So a hidden Mickey is when you go and you find something that is just maybe like a normal detail, but it looks like a Mickey Mouse. It could be like him in three-quarter view where you see his two ears and his nose, or just straight on where it's the three little circles. And it could be anywhere, like if you are just looking at a wall mural and like you see clouds, there's like a little Mickey shaped in the clouds, or if you look at the carpet, sometimes there's little Mickey prints in it.
Okay.
And they're like details that you can overlook, but they can be as subtle as rock formations on a ride where you look at it at a certain angle, it looks like that thing.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, is there like a what the hell am I looking at? Oh, these are all the hidden Mickey. Well, these are a bunch of hidden Mickeys. Gotcha. Rob pulled up hidden Mickeys and showing me. It would not be an SU without some sort of visual.
That would be ridiculous.
Oh yeah, because of the three little dots in the. Jeez, that really is a hidden one. So, is there like a guess as to how many of these, or like a theory on how many of these are hidden around the park?
I don't think so. They used to publish books, and when I say they, I don't mean Disney, it was a third party, that published guides to finding these hidden Mickeys, but, like, as the parks changed, they would keep doing new versions.
Right.
There's no specific count of them, also because things that you might consider hidden Mickey, or that are hidden Mickeys, you might not consider them to be hidden Mickeys, because the different cast members kind of like hide things in differently.
Right. So it's almost left it up for interpretation sometimes.
It is. The rule is if you think it could be a hidden Mickey, it is.
Gotcha.
So, like, I sent you one. It's a little hard to see. Let me show you a picture of the Nautilus. Nautilus, 20,000 leagues. Images. This is the boat. So, if you see the little window and, like, the little window.
And then the circle part window. Right behind it.
And then that shape underneath it that curves back upwards.
Yep.
This actually is probably a better picture of it. Copy image.
Boop. Now, is there... But now, here's my question. So this is considered a hidden Mickey, but is there... This is a picture of a ship. Like, is there a Mickey in here that I'm not seeing?
There isn't. It's basically anything that's a hidden reference to something. Okay. So you can have, like, this is considered a hidden Mickey because it's a reference to something that used to be there. But then there's actually a really elaborate hidden Mickey also in that queue. So let me see. Voyage of the Little Mermaid Mickey.
See, I don't know. This addition to the Nautilus, there's, like, those little indents on the rock on the left-hand side that... look at those, it looks like the ears and the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it even Voyage of Little Mermaid? Little pool of water is shaped Mermaid Mickey.
Right here. But yeah, she was showing me that this is the Nautilus.
Oh man, I know that there's like. I will find you the picture of this. Oh, actually, I kind of see it here.
Let's see if I can point it out.
This one might be a little easier to see. Okay. So, it looks a little wonky from this angle because of the way that it was taken, but there's a way that you can see this one so that it really truly looks like Steamboat Willie.
I could see that.
Yeah, so, like, you can see his pants, you see, like, his nose and the rocks and his ears and his little hat and the helm wheel thing ships are. So that's an elaborate hidden Mickey in the same line as the Nautilus ship one.
And see, that's crazy, too, because, like, at a random angle, it would mean nothing. It would be nothing. It's literally, you have to be at the right angle to be able to even see it.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And they're fun to spot. And, like, every once in a while you'll go on an attraction where you're like, oh, look, a little Mickey Mouse in the corner. Like, I think on Soarin', there's a part where, I think it's Soarin' Over California specifically, where they're golfing and one of the golf balls has, like, it kind of flies right at the camera. And if you look at, like, a split second, if you don't, like,
something, but then if you turn it, it looks like something completely different.
Yeah.
So if you don't, like, flinch when the ball comes at the screen, you'll see there's a Mickey Mouse on the golf ball.
See, that's hard because everyone's gonna flinch.
Yeah.
So now I have something to look forward to if I ever go to Disneyland or Disney
or World, because you'll find them in both.
Yeah. Though chances are I'll end up going to the California one before the Florida one.
Okay. I haven't been there yet. I want to, though.
Only because I know B will want to go. And the way that Florida is right now.
That's fair.
Yeah. So she'll want to go to probably the California one.
There's also one in France that's really nice.
Yeah, Disney World Paris or whatever.
Yep.
Yep. I wonder, now, are there hidden Mickeys at all of them?
Yeah, there should be. It's Imagineering little secrets.
Gotcha. I really think, like, I think Disney themselves should put out a list. Be like, hey, at the California Disneyland or whatever, there's 1,200 exactly hidden Mickeys. Well,
what's funny is that a lot of them were added as secrets. So the production team and Disney as a whole doesn't even know that they exist. The individual Imagineers have secretly put a lot of them in. Gotcha. And that's how it kind of started. It was all just like a secret inside joke that they hid these Mickeys everywhere, and then it became a phenomenon.
Gotcha. See, that's something that I feel like I would do, too.
Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like even like in when I did theater, like we had sets that like we all like wrote notes on in the back, or like we did like little hidden stuff on the sets when we were building them. So yep. It's fun to hide things.
Yep. And it's even more fun that knowing that when you do, it's like when somebody else sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, yeah, you know, I put that there and you got it, you know? So, good times.
Yeah. Times.
All right. Well, thank you, Lex, for joining me on this one and for making me watch the show.
Of course.
And it was a phenomenal show. And yeah. If you've made it to the end of this podcast and you haven't watched it yet, fuck is wrong with you? Watch it.
Right now!
Jeez.
Don't sleep, just watch.
Yeah, no sleep, must watch. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, right now, if you really like horse games like Star Stable and Minecraft, I'm making YouTube videos at Ursula's Revenge. And I also stream on Wednesdays, mostly horse games, at Ursula's Revenge on Twitch.
Yeah. Go watch. And then if you've also seen Hidden Mickeys, go to Ursula's Revenge Twitch. Yeah. And let them know which Hidden Mickey you found.
Yeah, which ones are your favorites?
Yeah. My favorite is going to be the Steamboat Willie one.
Steamboat Willie. It's a good one.
You know? And I haven't even seen it in person. So...
And one more thing to add, because I'm constantly watching cartoons, if you want to see another episode of SU detailing cartoons, let us know, because I would like Webby to watch Gravity Falls, because I think you're going to like it.
I also want to check out this, I forget the name of it already.
Hello, Boss?
No, but I did see I saw a picture for that, and that also looked kind of funny.
I also want to watch.
What was the Crapopolis?
Oh,
Crapopolis. Yeah,
it was the movie that somebody was in.
Yeah, I think it was a show. Maybe it was a movie. I don't remember. I'm gonna have to go look at the. I'm just gonna look up trailers now.
Go find out.
In fact, after we log off, I'm gonna go watch the Has-Been Hotel trailer. So
I'll watch it with you
because I want to see how different it turned out.
Me too.
So thank you everybody for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the episode. And thank you, Lex, for joining me again. Until next time, everybody, fuck Booster Gold.
Bye!
Outro. Bam, bam.
Bam, bam. Let me see if I can find this trailer. Is it a trailer or a pilot?
They said it was a trailer on YouTube. A trailer for the pilot, I'm guessing? Maybe it's just a pilot episode. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba